blessing, there's a communication of God that takes place in such a fellowship, making us more transparent all the time. So, brothers and sisters, this point, I would say, is too crucial. That transparent relationships is not in knowing how to smile. Transparent relationships are in the realm of the experiences of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the higher and the deeper we touch the Lord in our experiences of life, the more transparent the building becomes. So we could see this is the realm that we are in. Then we need to see that in the realm of life, there's a real battle that is being waged all the time. There's a battle in the realm of life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 and look at verse 18 again. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Here, he says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." I will build. That means I will relate you. "And I am the life-giving Spirit." This I here is the Lord who is now the life-giving Spirit. This is the life I, the one who is the life. I will build. This I is now the Lord who has been processed and processed to become the life-giving Spirit to live in our spirit. So when he says, "I will build," this is not some objective kind of building out there. But this is the Lord Himself subjectively in our spirit relating us one to another in the realm of life. I will build. Subjectively, I will build. And my building is in the realm of life. Always in the realm of life. I'm relating you one to another when you are in the realm of life, touching me as life, drinking me as life, open to me as life, and following me as life. As we are in this realm of life, I will work and operate to relate you, to build you. So again, we could see this is all in the realm of life. Then he says, "The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Shall not prevail against our relationships in life, in the realm of life. So this just opens up the fact that there is a battle over our relationships in the realm of life. And we have to see that the gates of Hades represent the realm of death. So in our relationships with one another, we need to preserve the realm of life and guard against the realm of death. There's the realm of life and there's the realm of death. And the gates of Hades represent the realm of death. Just like the Lord said in Revelation 1:18 that He had the keys of death and Hades. Hades is the region of the dead, where the dead are held, where the dead go. It's Sheol in the Old Testament and Hades in the New Testament, the same. It's the place of the dead. And in Acts chapter 2, it said, "Thou wilt not allow my soul to be kept in Hades, but you have made known to me the ways of life." And so this means the Lord was resurrected as the life-giving Spirit and was just in the realm of life, out of the realm of Hades. He was resurrected. So this just shows us that the gates of Hades here represents the realm of death, in contrast to the realm of life. Now, this must become our experience for transparent relationships in God's building. And that is to maintain the realm of life with one another and to be sensitive to the intrusion of the realm of death. So we could see, this is the crucial point. And the realm of death uniquely works through our mind and by our mind. This is the realm of death. The realm of death in relationships in God's building is through the mind and with the mind. This is the unique avenue of Satan's attack on the building to bring death and to disintegrate our life relationships into just common relationships with no reality. It's the realm of death, and the realm of death invades the church, invades the building, invades these transparent relationships through our mind. This is too clear. Because in this same section of the Word, after the Lord speaks this about the gates of Hades, then He opened up the matter that He was going to die on the cross for the first time to the disciples in verse 21. And then Peter began to rebuke Him and say, God, be merciful to you, Lord. This shall by no means happen to you. And then the Lord turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Then He said, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. So this means Peter's good, natural mind opened the gates of Hades. The gates of Hades came out through Peter's good, natural mind. Nothing bad here. He said, Lord, this shall not be to you. God be merciful to you. But the Lord identified this as Satan himself. And Peter, not setting his mind on the things that be of God, but on the things that be of men. There's two realms, God and men. There's a realm where man thinks, man reasons, man calculates. It's the realm of men thinking. Paul speaks of it in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3 and 4. He says, when you say that you're of Paul and you're of Apollos, you're walking as men. Are you not men? You're thinking the way men do. That's a realm. That's the natural realm. But God's building is not in that realm. That realm is Satan's territory. And that is the realm of the natural mind. Where the natural mind comes in, then death comes in. Into our relationships. That's why our relationships daily are in life. We love life. We preserve life. And whenever we get off into our natural thinking and then express our natural thinking, the realm of death comes in against the realm of life in our transparent relationships in God's building to attack. So the gates of Hades open up when we get into our natural thinking, our good ideas, and our good concepts. This is definitely the realm of death. So we have to see this kind of mind, the natural mind, is the realm of death. Lord, deliver us from our natural mind, amen, our natural thinking. I've had much experience in this realm. Over the years, I've enjoyed the realm of life with the ones closest to me. Then I got into considerations and thinking and reasoning and began to express my natural mind. Then the realm of death came in and there was no transparent building due to the exercise of the natural mind. So this is one thing we need to see. Then, of course, this is related to the mind of the flesh in Romans 8, 6. There it says, the mind of the flesh is death. This means the mind that has the wrong source is death. The mind of the flesh is death. Or the mind set upon the flesh is death. Of course, the mind of the Spirit, it says, is life and peace. So there's a contrast between the realm of death and the realm of life and peace. And it's connected to what source our thinking is coming from. The mind of the flesh is death. That means it's not a matter of what we're thinking, but it's a matter of what source are we thinking from. Is our mind plugged into the Spirit? Is our mind in the Spirit? Just like Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that means this mind that has the flesh as its source is a death mind. It's a death realm. It might be good flesh, right flesh. Nevertheless, it's just flesh. It's just flesh. It's the mind of the flesh, and it's death. Don't touch it. Don't touch that source. Don't touch the thoughts in that source. So we can see how this mind, the natural mind, this fleshly mind, is the realm of death. I trust that by our fellowship and by the Word of God, we could see so clearly that what tears down the transparent relationships in God's building in the realm of life is this realm of death, which is our mind. Our natural mind and our fleshly mind. Then also, thirdly, I don't know what word to use, but the settled down mind. You may ask, what does this mean? The settled down mind. This, we have to look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Let's turn there together and look at the words here in Luke 11 and verse 20. It says, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. If I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the finger of God, the kingdom of God, is come upon you. Then it says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. The word armed here is in the perfect tense in Greek, implying that it's a kind of a settled state of the strong man. The strong man here is armed, settled, keeping his palace, and all the goods are in peace. Meaning everything has been settled down. This means the enemy is settled down. The demons are settled down. Satan has been settled down. And he doesn't want to be disturbed. Don't change me. Don't disturb my way of thinking. My way of thinking has been intact for years. It's all here in peace. I've reasoned a certain way, I've thought a certain way, I've expressed myself a certain way, and I've related to people in a certain way. I've been well fortified and armed. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is the settled down mind. This is the mind that is a fortress. This is the mind that Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians that is called a stronghold. A stronghold kept in peace. But listen, verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. Amen. Praise the Lord! Amen. Oh, life attacks our mind. Amen. Stronger Amen. Than this strong man. Amen. A stronger than he shall come upon him. Amen. And this happens when you exercise your spirit. Amen. When you open to the members to pray. Amen. When you open to the body, you begin to touch the Spirit. Amen. And then a stronger comes upon him. Amen. And begins to come upon this demonic mind. Then it says, and overcometh him. Listen, he taketh from him all his armor in which he trusted. Praise the Lord! He trusted in his own thought. He trusted in his reasoning. And then it says, you see, and divided his spoils. Then the Lord says this, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. He that is not with me is against me. I've come upon you. You've touched your spirit. And now life has come in this way. Now you have to make a decision. Now life has forced you to decide. And if you're not with me, right now at this point, you are against me. The stronger one has come to upset this settled down mind, this stronghold, this reasoning, this kind of mind that has come from our culture, our upbringing, our way of thinking, our reasoning, our right thinking, and so forth. And it's become a stronghold of Satan. And the gates of Hades are opened up through our settled down mind. So we could see, the Lord says, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom has come upon you. Brothers and sisters, when we touch our spirit and get into the realm of life, the stronger one comes upon us. And he begins to shake up our reasoning, settled down mind, to cast out the demons that have frustrated the transparent relationships in God's building. It's because our mind is a stronghold. It's been kept in peace. And we've thought a certain way so that the enemy has just been quietly intact there. That's why he doesn't like us to pray and to exercise our spirit in our relationships with one another, because he knows the stronger will come upon him. And then the Lord will rise up in our spirit as life. And then we have to be with him. He that is not with me is against me. A few minutes ago, you were not against him. But when you exercise your spirit and life comes in to expose your mind, if you don't go with life, you're against him. This is altogether according to our experience. Absolutely according to our experience. Everything was in peace until life came. When we got into the realm of life, then everything got shaken up. The demons began to activate. The hatreds, the arguments, the reasonings, the tug of war inside of our being. What is this? It is just the enemy trying to keep his palace in peace. Don't disturb me with life. Don't disturb me with any fellowship. Just keep me here, settled down, independent, isolated, and so forth. Anyway, praise the Lord for the stronger. Amen. He's in our spirit. Amen. Oh, to come upon him. Amen. And to cast out every demon. Amen. Everything in our mind that has frustrated God's building. So, this is really something in our daily relationships one with another. I tell you, if we would get to our spirit, to the stronger man, the Lord Jesus in our spirit, we would break all the shackles that have just chained us due to what? Our settled down way of thinking, our reasoning, our strongholds that have frustrated this building. So this is another kind of mind. It is not only the natural mind, not only the fleshly mind, but also the settled down mind. And then there's the unrenewed mind. The unrenewed mind. You know, Paul says in Romans 12, be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed. By what? By the renewing of the mind. This means the more we are conformed to this age, the more our mind is unrenewed. The more we go along with this present age and the world and all the things of the world, the more we have an unrenewed mind. And this unrenewed mind is the realm of death, frustrating God's building. That's why Paul, in Romans 12, when he talks about the body, the organic relationships between the members of the body, you are the body of Christ and members one of another, the first thing he touches is consecration, and then the next thing he touches is a dealing with the world. And not being conformed to the age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Because the renewing of the mind is for God's building. So any unrenewed mind due to the age is the realm of death. And this is something that frustrates God's building between us. So we have to identify these kind of minds. Because the gates of Hades come out through our mind. Our natural mind, our fleshly mind, our settled down mind, and also our unrenewed mind. Then right away before Paul touches the organic relationships in the body, he talks about the high mind. Not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. This is the high mind. The mind that has an elevated concept about itself. That it's better. It's superior. It knows all. It knows better. One brother testified some time ago that he just kind of cherished his objective mind. And that this was a real problem to him. So we have to see that our high mind and our thinking of ourselves higher than others, better than others, this is the realm of death. And this is the gates of Hades that comes in to our relationships, that tries to prevail. Then there is also the seduced mind. The mind that's seduced by the serpent. This mind is also the realm of death. And this mind is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, where Paul says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, listen, your thoughts should be corrupted. And this word corrupted could be understood seduced, just the way the serpent seduced Eve. Your thoughts should be seduced or corrupted from the singleness and the purity which is toward Christ. This is the enemy invading our mind to seduce it, to corrupt it. And this takes place with those darts that are thrown into our mind that begins to seduce it, begins to corrupt our mind. You might be having a wonderful fellowship in the Spirit with your husband, with your wife, with a brother, with a sister, and everything is flowing. God is being communicated. And then some thought way back in the back parts of your mind begins to try to creep in. It's a seducing thought. To put some little wedge and some insulation to begin to think, to begin to consider, to begin to look at it. No wonder Paul uses warfare language when he talks about the thoughts. Bringing every thought into captivity. Every thought into captivity and making it obedient to Christ. Not being seduced in our mind. And this seducing of the enemy is something that uses and utilizes past experiences. It utilizes concepts. It utilizes scripture. utilizes principles, utilizes all kinds of things just to seduce our mind and to corrupt it from the simplicity and the purity which is toward Christ. And the goal is to disintegrate the reality of the building and make us opaque without being transparent. So we could see that this kind of mind is the realm of death. Then the last mind I will mention as the realm of death is the subjective mind. The subjective mind is a mind that interprets things in terms of itself and analyzes everything in terms of itself, being subjective. And then because it interprets things in terms of itself, it projects wrong things on others. You see, many of our projections concerning others are due to our own subjective mind. And this subjectiveness and this projection is the realm of death. Now, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, the Lord says, "And why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye?" That means you projected something on your brother. You've looked at your brother at his splinter, you thought. You see? This is the tendency here. But do not consider the log in your own eye. This means that you have not dealt with your own subjective mind. So you're projecting on others. Then he says, "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the splinter from your eye,' and behold, the log is in your eye?" In other words, how can you have a transparent relationship and fellowship to wash another's feet to remove the splinter? You need to be able to see it accurately. But in order for that, you have to remove the log out of your own eye. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the splinter from your eye,' and behold, the log is in your eye? Hypocrite, first remove the log from your eye. And then listen, and then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." And when you remove the splinter from your brother's eye, you will do it in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. This means you will wash the feet in the spirit of meekness, very careful not to interject your flesh. But when we have not taken care of our own subjective mind, our own reasoning mind, our mind that has its source in the flesh, then whatever we say, whatever we do, is just a projection of our own undealt with self. And it's unclear, and it brings in death. It doesn't bring in life. Why, over the years, some of us have said the right things, but the right things brought death? Why did the things that we say seem so right, but the taste was death? Why? It's because the source was wrong. It's because we were in our own subjective mind that frustrates God's building. So this mind, the natural mind, the fleshly mind, the settled down mind, the unrenewed mind, the high mind, the seduced mind, the subjective mind. We better add a last one, the right mind. The right mind, which is that word noema in Greek, where Paul says, taking into captivity every noema, every thought. And that Greek word means a right thought. And it's a right thought with a plot in it. So that it's right thinking, but the devil's in it. to destroy God's building. All these various kinds of minds are an exposure to us of the realm of death, to take us out of the realm of life. And God's building is in the realm of life. Praise the Lord. So we need to be a person in that realm and stay in that realm. And then, finally, we need to be a person that is open to the life in the members. The life in the members. Matthew chapter 18, it says, "Now if your brother sins, go reprove him." This reproving is the word expose. Expose him. And this kind of exposing must be understood with Galatians 6:1. "If a brother be overtaken in some trespass, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself." You have to put Galatians 6:1 with Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins, go and expose. Now, this means the person that sinned needs to be open to the fellowship of life coming from this member that comes to him. Now, look at what it says. "If he hears you, you have gained your brother." Praise the Lord. That means the reality of the body is there. The transparent relationships are preserved. And the realm of life is kept. But if he doesn't hear you, in verse 16, "Take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." This indicates it's crucial how we hear the members that come to us in the fellowship of life. Then it says in verse 17, "But if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to hear the church, also let him be to you as the Gentile and the tax collector." So this means how serious it is to hear the members of the body who come to us to fellowship in life, even exposing some sin. But the principle is being open to the members to receive the fellowship of life. Because the oneness of the body is here. One member goes, then two or three, then the whole church. Then listen, if a person is close to a transparent relationship with the members, when the members do not echo an amen his behavior, and the members expose something and he doesn't hear, then eventually that person has a changed relationship with the body. It just says, let him be as a Gentile and a publican. This means if we don't hear the members in this kind of way, then we are no longer organic in the body anymore. We are just like an outsider. In other words, it doesn't say excommunicate. This is not dealing here with excommunication. Strictly speaking, it just says, let him be. Let him be as a Gentile and a publican. That means his relationship to you changes. How does it change? There's no more a life relationship. So he's just changed in his relationship. He still may be around, but his relationship is no longer organic due to his what? Not hearing the fellowship of life from the body. And this is so serious that the Lord says in verse 18, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth shall be what has been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on the earth shall be what has been loosed in heaven." This means The word bind means tied. It means you're limited. And released or loosed means you're released. Loosed means you're released. You're set free. And the Lord says in verse 18, these words, right following this member that didn't hear the life fellowship from the body. Due to his not hearing, his relationship with the body was changed. And he was just at that moment bound. His life experience was bound. That means inwardly, he was limited from that point on. From that point, he's limited, bound. He has no way to proceed with the Lord. He has no way to go on with the Lord. Because he did not hear the life fellowship from the body. This is not just an official pronouncement from the institutional church, like the Roman Catholic Church pronounces their decrees. This is simply an organic reality. Whenever we close from the life fellowship of the members of the body, something happens in our relationship with the body. And we are bound. We are limited. We have no way to proceed. But listen, when we hear the members of the body and receive that fellowship, then we are released. Then we are loosed. And heaven respects the relationships between the members, the life relationships. This is an expression of the heavens. Whatever you bind on the earth shall be what has been bound in the heavens, and whatever you loose on the earth shall be what has been loosed in the heavens. And this binding and this loosing is related, listen, to our transparent relationships in the realm of life. Again, we could testify, this is our experience. Whenever, in degree, just even in degree, we closed from the life fellowship from the saints, we were bound, limited, tied. No way to proceed. And we felt like an outsider. We felt like a Gentile. We felt like a publican. Right? But whenever we felt or took the fellowship from the saints in a life way, having our feet washed, then right away we just got more released. We were just released, loosed to enjoy the building. Praise the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, this is not trying to make up something. This is simply describing what is the reality among us. We are organic. Our relationships are in God's building, and we are in a transparent situation. And our relationship with one another involves our relationship with God. And our relationship with God is all intertwined and intermixed with our relationship with one another. There's only one fellowship with two aspects. So that for transparent relationships, one with another, for God's building, we need to stay in the realm of life. Out of the realm of death, our mind, and resistance to any fellowship from the members of the body. So that we will not be bound, but we will be loosed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, for these transparent relationships in God's building in this realm of life. Amen. Oh, Lord, plunge us in the realm of life. Amen. Lord, make us afraid of our mind, Amen. The natural mind, the settled down mind. Amen. Oh, may the stronger come upon us Amen. And upset that stronghold. Amen. So the Lord can build us in our daily relationships one with another. Amen. Oh, this is for the Lord's coming back. This is for the building of the church and for His kingdom. Amen. Oh, may the Lord take this word and multiply it in our daily living. Amen. That we will be the ones in the realm of life. Amen. Having these glorious, transparent relationships. Amen. Receiving from all the members of the body. Amen. Let's have some prayer and then some sharing. Amen, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.